Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about Bi'that on this 27th of Rajab. And so in order to talk about the Bi'that of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, we have invited Sayyid Hashimi to come and speak to us about this auspicious event by the name of Bi'that. So let's go ahead and start our discussion. Sayyid Hashimi, assalamu alaikum
and welcome to the talk show. Thank you.
Congratulations and blessings upon you and your dear and near ones, Sayyid Hashimi, on this great occasion of the Bi'that of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Really, the Bi'that itself is such a all-encompassing, wide-ranging subject, you know, that can be dissected and analyzed in so many different manners and dimensions. We actually humbly requested that you would come and kind of open up some of these chapters for us, talking about the Bi'that, if you will, in the name of Allah, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. First of all, thank you for having me on this show. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us all with the best followers of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mumineen salawatullahi alayhi majma'in. Congratulations on this auspicious Eid of Bi'tha. You know about Bi'tha. Firstly, we have to know that this chapter of history that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a prophet.
Right.
Because this is the end of prophethood and right. This is the last prophet and this is the last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving teachings and laws and regulations to the human being.
Yes.
It can be the most or one of the most important incidents in the history of mankind.
Right. Very well said.
Yes. And the reason behind that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we believe that Rasulullah is Khatamun Nabiyyin and no prophet will come after Rasulullah.
Right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this guidance and guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was completed by the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everything before upgraded now.
Right.
And we have new teachings, both in quantity and quality.
MashaAllah, both but in quantity
yes,
and quality.
And both, yeah.
Very well.
Because
yes.
it's not just new, you know, new commandments, new regulations. No, we see that something higher and something never heard of.
Right.
It we can find that in the teachings of Rasulullah in Quran. And tonight I'm going to talk about one of the most important teachings that is new in Quran.
MashaAllah.
You know, according to Al-Mizan, I have here the first volume of Tafsir Al-Mizan
by
Allama Tabatabai. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I recommend all our audiences to and viewers to read this Tafsir. I think all the followers of Ahlul Bayt, all Shia people, must read and must reflect on this beautiful Tafsir. In this Tafsir, under the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, from verse number 153 to 157, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله. Here Allah Tabatabai has a very important discussion.
Yes.
Here he says that if we, you know, just review the history of ethical systems, all those systems which wanted to purify the soul of human beings,
sure,
we can find three primary, you know, systems and schools of thoughts here.
Mm-hmm. The first, as ethics and morality.
Yes.
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 The perfection of humanity.
The perfection of humanity. Yes.
Yes. Bismillah.
The first one is the Greek system of ethics and self-purification.
Right.
You know, related to Aristotle and Plato, and we know all those things that we know from the Greek history. They believe that you have to be good and you have to, you know, make yourself better, because if you become better, if you make yourself better, people will endorse you.
Right.
And if you become worse, and if you have a vile characteristic, people will admonish you,
right,
will stand against you. So because of the endorsement of people, as we call in Kalam, Tahsin, and Taqbih, Al-Aqliyain. Because they endorse you or they admonish you, so you have to have good characteristics and avoid and refrain from bad characteristics and bad actions. Allah Ta'ala says that there is no sign of this kind of a school of thought in Quran.
In Quran, there is no.
Yes, there is no.
It's interesting. I mean, if just to maybe open it up a little bit, because what's interesting is that this this view on ethics and morality seems more to do with the acceptance of others,
yes,
rather than the self itself.
Self, yeah.
Yes, it's
very. And they wanted to use it as a means to purify the self. Yes,
right.
It was in their minds. But their instrument, their teaching, right, was like that.
Right.
Okay, so you always need to observe other people, mm-hmm, not yourself. Mm-hmm. And inshallah, we will say that it is against the teachings of mm-hmm, prophets, and especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't mean that they wanted to do evil things and spread evil ideas. No, we say that it's not complete. It's not true.
Right.
The second system of self-purification and ethics is the teachings of Anbiya, the prophets before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Nuh, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam. They did not tell people that you have to prevent from transgression because others admonish you. No. They would tell people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And they would tell them that if you commit bad things, if you perform good deeds, and if you refrain from bad things, you will earn and achieve the eternal life in paradise, mm-hmm, which is something above this worldly life, material life.
Right,
this is
right,
more than this. This is eternal, that is real, that is about your spirit and your soul, and so on and so forth. And if you don't do that, and if you fall into transgressions, and if you fall into violating the rights of people, and if you fall into the old vile and evil characteristics, you will burn in hellfire.
Sure.
And in Quran, we have tons of verses talking about this.
Right, right.
Many verses talking about this, talking about al-Jahannam, talking about Jahannam and al-Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says that Quran accepts this idea, because this is the idea of prophets before Rasulullah. And Rasulullah is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Rasulullah, is going to upgrade these teachings, not denying those teachings.
Right.
But Allah Ta'ala says, we have in Quran another system, another method of purifying people, of elevating the ethical and spiritual position of people, which is only mentioned in Quran. We don't have any sign of this kind of system in even teachings of Anbiya, prophets prior to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here he says that وَهَا هُنَا مَسْلَكٌ ثَالِثٌ مَخْصُوصٌ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ لَا يُوجَدْ فِي شَيْءٍ مِمَّا نُقِلَ إِلَيْنَا مِنَ الْكُتُبِ السَّمَاوِيَةِ. There is a teaching that is specific, especially in Quran.
Yes.
And you cannot find that in any book, mm-hmm, before Rasulullah, in any divine book,
right,
before Rasulullah. And what is that? He says that وَهُوَ تَرْبِيَةُ الْإِنسَانِ وَصْفًا وَعِلْمًا بِاسْتِعْمَالِ أُلُومِ وَمَعَارِفِ لَا يَبْقَى مَأَهَا مَوْزُوءُ الرَّذَائِلِ وَبِعِبَارَةٍ أُخْرَى إِزَالَةُ الْأَوْصَافِ الرَّذِيلَةِ بِالرَّفْعِ لَا بِالدَّافِ. It needs some explanation. In the teachings of Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala says that you always have this tendency, this motive, this base to sin, to act, to commit the act of transgression, okay? But they always tell you, fight yourself, jihadun nafs, fight yourself, fight this ego, fight this motive, fight this tendency inside you, so you will reach the highest levels, inshallah.
Right.
Allah Ta'ala says that in Islam and in the teachings of Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, by appointing Rasulullah as prophet, is giving us this kind of teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us you have to concentrate and focus on the concept of at-tawheed. Okay? And if you do so, the motive, the base, the foundation of wanting to do bad things, Right. And having vile characteristics will be removed from your entity, from your soul.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there will be no motive, no sign of anything which drives you to sin, to have bad characteristics.
Yes.
So according to this, Quran's teachings remove the base of any bad or evil act or characteristic. And how that happens? Allah Tabatabai says that this happens by teaching of Tawheed. Quran is mostly focused on the reality of Tawheed. And what is the reality of Tawheed? That is interesting.
Right. And Tawheed, we're talking about this Islamic...
Islamic kind of conception
right,
of Tawheed.
Right, of Tawheed.
Not that general of understanding of Tawheed. It's not just the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right, right.
It means what? It means that a Muslim must reject any independency from any being except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? You should not see any independency in your parents, in people's will, in people's power, in skies, in the earth, in angels, in shaitan, in anything.
Right.
All of those things are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in their af'al, their actions, they are dependent. In their awsaf, their qualities, they are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have nothing from themselves.
Yes.
In their existence, they are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well, most importantly, as well as you.
Right.
This is the place that removes everything. You have to know that you have nothing independent. You cannot rely, you know, everything from you, from your af'al, actions, qualities, existence, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just removes his faith, his right. giving, this is existence, there will be nothing from your af'al and awsaf and that. The existence, right. the qualities, and the
actions.
Yes. So Allah Tabatabai says, if you put this kind of conception in your mind, that nothing in this world is independent, so you will not ask or expect anything from anyone. Why do I do riya? Show off. Why? Because I need that attraction, that attention of people.
Right.
I want them to endorse me. Because of what? Because they will, you know, glorify me, because they give me money, they give me position. So if you know that money, position, glory, honor, all of them is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the reason for riya? What is the reason for sum'ah? What is the reason for, you know, the extremism in shahawat?
Right.
So it removes the foundation of vile characteristics. It is why, yes, it is why he says that. By that, there is no need to do jihad. Jihad al-nafs is correct. But by that definition of jihad al-nafs, which always, you know, you always have this disease. You right. just use these medicals, these drugs, to reduce your pain. To just forget your pain. But the source of the pain still exists in your body. But by Islam, and Islam's teaching removes what? The source of pain. So you don't need any medication anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the source of pain is right. removed, is annihilated. He says that this is the reality of the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, which is new. And Sayyidi, you know, after Allah Tabatabai connects that to the society. He says that even an Islamic society is the society in which all the individuals think about Tawheed like this. This is their mindset. So if they do ithar, this happens because they don't have an ego like that. They
right.
don't have any
right.
self-sufficiency in their mind.
Right.
If they sacrifice, if they become martyrs, if they give away, if they help others, so this is the sanctified society.
Right, a Tawhidi society.
Yes, a Tawhidi society, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this has levels. The first level is in the mind.
Okay.
In mind and your mindset and concepts, you need to accept Tawhid. In af'al, Tawhidul af'al, in sifat, qualities, Tawhid in quality, and in that, Tawhid right. in existence. But after that, he says, by purifying yourself with this and with observing all the teachings of Islam, yes, and performing all the obligatories, refraining from all the prohibitions, okay, you will reach a level that you don't just understand this concept, but you rather witness this concept. This is not concept anymore. Mm-hmm. This reality.
It's reality. Yes. Yes.
You will witness that there is no action in this world. No dependent mm-hmm. action in this world. There is no dependent what? Mm-hmm. Sifa, quality in this world. Everything good, everything, the power, the life, the knowledge, everything. You see that it comes from another source. There is no nothing independent.
Yes.
And then the highest level, you will feel and understand that there is nothing independent in existence. And that is the reality of that verse. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. You know, when you reach the level of لِيَعْبُدُونِي and you worship Allah and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it happens when you remove everything, even the concepts, even the mind, and you reach that highest level that you just see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the source of everything, existence, quality, and actions. And it needs, inshallah, further explanation, but for now, I think...
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to, because it's a very profound concepts, they're very deep concepts, you know, again, it at least for me, it takes some time to be able to reflect and understand the full realities of what's going on. But now, for example, if we look at the world, I don't know, for example, the Western world or the Eastern, let's focus on Western world for a second. It doesn't seem like even they have used any of these ethical models, right? Or for example, you would assume that they would use the Aristotelian and Plato's ethical models, but it doesn't seem like they're using those ethical models either. I mean, if you'd like to comment on that.
Yes, I think the first ethical system was used there.
Right.
But after that, because of the different conceptions, different worldviews, because, you know, after the modernity, after you accept the humanism, human means right. the human's ego, human self as the center of everything.
Right.
Because they substituted human self with what? With God, with the concept of God, which was preached in the medieval age by the Catholic Church. After that, of course, they will not approach the second system and not talk about the third system.
Yeah, the third system.
But what happens? This is the belief of Allah Ta'ala according to Quran. And Imam Khomeini, mostly Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini talks about this too much, mm-hmm. about al-fitra. Mm-hmm. This is the nature. And nature, you know, nature is not an equivalent for al-fitra. Al-fitra has no translation.
Right, right.
Not in Farsi, not in English. I don't know other languages, but in Farsi, in English, I'm sure that there is no translation for al-fitra because Shahid Muhtari says that this term is new in Quran. It wasn't even in Arabic language. And it wasn't used in this term, in this meaning.
In this context, right.
In this context. But because they have fitrah, the more they take this distance from this reality, the more they understand and feel that they need something.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the concept of entertainment.
Right.
Why entertainment is so popular in West and even now in the East? Why?
Yeah.
Because the human being
has this
is working, yes, is working 8 hours, 10 hours a day, okay? Tired, exhausted, and working for the system, for money, for going out, for... But after that, hasn't no time to think about the reality of this world. And if you leave him or her to talk about this reality, because he will think about this reality.
Of course.
Because of his fitrah. Okay? If you just leave him, he will face too many blockades. That would be a dead end. A great problem. That is the reason behind that tool of suicide, committing suicide.
Right.
In Western and in Eastern countries.
Yes.
So entertainment becomes popular. Why? Because entertainment distracts you.
It distracts you, yes.
I don't say entertainment is bad, no.
This, but it does distract you.
Yes, this entertainment in that context, the means and the reason of this entertainment is to distract you.
Right.
It's to make you neglect the reality of yourself. So you see the entertainment industry, billions and billions of dollars and pounds every year made in this industry.
Right.
Why? Because people need that. Because they are afraid of thinking about themselves. Alam Tawatabai says that this is the point that makes a revolution in the world. Mm-hmm. Because if you have this chance
to think,
and if you have this art to make them concentrate on the reality of their selves, this will bring them too many questions. Okay?
It'll create an awakening.
Awakening, yeah. A very big awakening. And after that, they will dig for the answer if they don't commit suicide, okay? They will dig for the answer. And the answer is, and the relevant answer is the answer which is really based on Al-Fitra. We believe that the answer of Islam is based on Al-Fitra.
Right.
We are not good preachers and promoters of Islam. I mean myself.
Right.
If I was a good person to spread the word of Islam, I would give them this kind of mindset based on their fitra. But I can't do that because I got stuck in my culture, in my place, in my atmosphere, in my country, in my, you know.
Right, right.
And this prevents us from, you know, doing so. So we believe that it doesn't mean that if a civilization is far from this reality, thousands of years, it doesn't mean that you need thousands of years to get them back. No.
It could be instantaneous.
Yes, they have. Because why? Because they never can remove their al-fitr.
Yeah, they can't deny their fitr once it wakes up.
It's always with them.
Right.
This is why we believe that Quran is always with them. Right. Always with them. You just need to remove this curtain. You just need to unveil this, okay?
Right.
And that is the mission of at-tabligh. That is the reality of
at-tabligh. Sayyid, I don't know if you would like to, I know because we've kind of run out towards time on the program. I don't know if you'd like to leave a last word in there about Bayt, about this, the 27th of Rajab, and really this, I mean, because it's very beautiful that we have these three ethical models. One was this old Greek ethical model, you know, which is rarely seen. Then we had this ethical model of the prophets of the past, and then this brand new Tawheed-centric ethical model of the Prophet Muhammad. If you'd like to conclude, Bismillah.
Yes, I wanted to, for the last word, I wanted to say that it's offensive for Muslims, for Shia people, but everyone, for every Muslim, that we really betrayed Quran and Rasulullah.
Yes, really. Interesting.
Mm. Really betrayed them. Why? Because we made this something traditional to recite in the funeral processions, to recite in that part, and the ceremony of Nikah in that time, let's recite some verse of Surah Al-Maryam or Surah Al-Nur, okay?
Right.
But we really are unaware of the teaching of Rasulullah after 1400 hundreds of years.
Yes.
Okay. So the last word is, we really need to go back to Quran.
Yes.
Go back to Quran. And one of the means is this Tafsir al-Mizan and other Tafasir. We always complain that people in the world, they're not attracted to our world, and they are attracted. And sometimes we want to attract more people, but it's not possible. We say, it's not possible. Why it's not possible? Because you are not attracted to the word of Rasulullah. Even until now, you have neglected the very fundamental teachings of Islam. How do you expect others, non-Muslims, come to this teaching? Embrace this teaching. So the last word is, I think that we need to go back to Quran. And I just raised this discussion and this topic because I wanted to say that there are too many things that are unheard of in Quran. Even in Quran, many of us did the khatm of Quran tens of times, 20 times, yeah?
Right,
okay, yes. 30 times. But, okay, what is the result? We don't know about that. Even the tullab, even the students of Hosea, even I think this is a great mission on our shoulders, and inshallah, I think we have to do that. And if we do that, inshallah, there will be a great hope for that Islamic society, real Islamic society, and helping the hastening the reappearance of Imam Al-Hujjah.
Sayyid Hashmi, thank you so much for taking time out and sharing your thoughts and the beautiful words of wisdom. Inshallah, may Allah bless you. And again, congratulations on this auspicious occasion of the 27th of Rajab. Dear listeners, thank you for joining us on this Bi'tha special of the 27th of Rajab, celebrating this joyous occasion, this turning point in the history of humanity towards ultimate perfection. And with that, we leave you. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.